Next up, this is a very special year for enthusiasts of the constant pi, because tomorrow, March 14th, 2015, written in abbreviated form, approximates pi not just to the usual three digits, 3.14, but to five digits, 3.1415. You'll have to wait another 100 years for that to happen again. So for the rest of the hour, we're going to celebrate. Don't worry, we won't go as far as Archimedes, who actually died for pi, or at least for his circle studies. How are you celebrating Pi Day this year? Maybe baking up something good? Give us a call, 844-724-8255. That's 844-SCI-TALK. Ian Stewart is an emeritus professor of mathematics at the University of Warwick in England. He's author of Professor Stewart's Incredible Numbers and Professor Stewart's Casebook of Mathematical Mysteries. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Stewart.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the program.
So what is it about pi that is so attractive and beguiling to math geeks?
It's a remarkably interesting and unusual number. It's the one we meet at school and think, this is a very strange number. And it comes out of something so straightforward, a circle. And, you know, it's given a circle, if you know the diameter, how big is the circumference? How long is the curve? And it's pi times the diameter. You say, well, what's pi? And at school, we're often told, well, it's 3 and 1 seventh. It's 22 over 7. But that's not quite correct. That's actually very slightly too big, because that's 3.1428. And as you already said, pi is a little bit smaller than that.
So who first came up with this idea of pi in the first place?
The idea of pi in its current form goes back to around the 1700s, but the concept without the name and the symbol goes right back to the ancient Greeks, definitely to Archimedes. Archimedes proved a whole lot of things about pi, and he really proved them. He did it, you know, the Greeks were quite hot on logic, and Archimedes did this geometrically. It can go back a bit further. I think even the ancient Babylonians, for example, probably had this. They knew that basically what the ratio of the circumference to the diameter was for one circle, it was the same for all of them. But it was Archimedes who really pinned it down. And among other things, Archimedes proved that there is a single number which gives you that ratio. It's the same for all circles. And it is very slightly less than 3 and 1 seventh. He proved it was somewhere between 3 and 10 over 71 and 3 and 1 over 7. And he did this by considering 96-sided polygons. So it was clever stuff for that period.
Very clever stuff indeed.
Yeah.
I'm John Dankowski, and this is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. And we're talking with Ian Stewart. We've got an excerpt of his book and our pop quiz, Pi versus Pi, at our website, sciencefriday.com/pi. Very quickly, before we move on from Archimedes, could you tell us the story about how he may have died for pi?
Yeah, the story is that he was pretty old. He lived quite a long time, and he was drawing a mathematical diagram with circles in the sand, which is kind of how they did it. Instead of a blackboard, they would draw in the sand. Well, he was in Alexandria at the time. He was in Egypt, so there's probably quite a bit of sand around. And a shadow fell across his diagram, and he just sort of shouted at the person who was causing this, you know, get off my diagram. Unfortunately, it was an invading Roman soldier who took his sword out and killed him. And there's no clear documentary evidence. A historian would say this is, you know, it's just a story. But to a mathematician, this does ring true to some extent, that somebody as good at math as Archimedes and as fascinated by it would be so immersed in his new theorem, his new diagram, that he really would not notice that it was an invading Roman soldier.
Oh, my goodness, what a story. Let's go to the phone. Steve is actually calling from California here. Hi there, Steve. You're on Science Friday.
Hey, hi. Good to hear you.
Good to hear from you. How are you celebrating Pi Day this year?
So my fiance and I were looking to pick a date that was meaningful, both easy to remember and meaningful for us. We're a couple of nerds, and so we decided to actually have our wedding tomorrow.
My goodness, you're getting married tomorrow just because it's Pi Day?
Well, not just because it's Pi Day.
I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, you love each other and everything.
In 2015, it's going to be, the more significant digits of pi available for our wedding. So we said, hey, let's go ahead and get married on 3/14/15.
Well, congratulations. I have to ask. I just assume that you're not cutting a wedding cake. You're cutting pie.
There will be pie to cut. Yeah.
There will be pie to cut. Hey, congratulations, Steve. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ian, I have to ask you, in England, do you guys even celebrate Pi Day the same day as us? I guess not, right?
No, because we put the day before the month, so it's 14.3 to us, and that's, I'm sure there's something very interesting about 14.3 or 143, but I have no idea what it is, actually, in that case. So you can't, the best you can do is, I guess, would be the 3rd of January 2041, which would be 3141. So if we wait another 26 years, we will get a sort of British Pi Day. Well, Pi Year. Pi Century. It'll happen. It won't happen again until 2141.
Well, we're going to continue celebrating Pi Day. The Pi Party will continue with Ian Stewart coming up in just a few minutes right after this. This is Science Friday. I'm John Dankosky. We're in the middle of our annual Pi Party with our special guest, Ian Stewart. He's an emeritus professor of mathematics at the University of Warwick in England, and he's the author of Professor Stewart's Incredible Numbers. We're also going to take some more of your phone calls at 844-724-8255, 844-SciTalk, finding out how you are celebrating this Pi Day. Pi, of course, the most famous irrational number, Ian, but it was not the first irrational number.
No, that's right. The first irrational number, that is a number that can never be represented by an exact fraction with two whole numbers. The first one was the square root of 2, which when they discovered this was again the ancient Greeks, it's even earlier than Archimedes. He was about 250 BC, whereas square root of 2 being irrational goes back to about 550 BC. So we're more than 2,500 years ago that the mathematicians discovered this. So easiest way to get square root of 2 is you draw a square, a unit square, side 1, whatever units you like, and just look at the diagonal, and that is length root 2. That's by Pythagoras' theorem. We all remember Pythagoras' theorem from school, I'm sure. And it was the Pythagoreans, which is an ancient Greek, it was a mystical cult which was very obsessed with numbers as the key to the universe, which, when you look at modern science, actually that wasn't such a bad idea. But the Pythagoreans, one of them discovered that the square root of 2 was irrational. It was not a fraction. Now, that was bad news to the Pythagoreans, because they thought that all numbers were whole numbers or fractions. And suddenly up comes this geometrical object, the diagonal of a square, for heaven's sake. And you either have to say, well, the length of that is not a number, or you have to say, well, it is a number, but it's not a number of the kind that we recognize as number. So whichever way you go, the philosophy was kind of compromised. So the story is that the chap who did this, his name was Hippasus of Metapontum. He made the mistake of announcing this discovery, probably very excitedly, to fellow Pythagoreans when he was on a boat crossing the Mediterranean. And the extreme version of the story is they were so annoyed that he'd spoilt their philosophy that they picked him up and threw him out of the boat in the middle of the Mediterranean. Again, there's no support for this. I suspect it wasn't quite as bloodthirsty as that, but they probably kicked him out of the cult.
There are some fairly amazing stories behind these numbers that you have, Ian. It is something else. We're talking to people who are celebrating Pi Day, and I just want to hear from Peter in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Hi, Peter.
Good day. I live in Stoughton, Wisconsin, where our postal code is 53589, and so in honor of Pi Day, we're having a Pi run starting this tomorrow at 9:26 in the morning. So you have 3.14159265 3589. So it's our our once-in-a-lifetime day around this town.
Peter, thank you so much. Ian, do you run into people all over the world who take pi as seriously as you do?
Well, yeah, I run into lots of mathematicians, and almost all mathematicians think pi is fantastic. But there's a lot of people find pi fascinating. We did an app which is related to the book, and the app has a million digits of pi, and you can type your birthday in. So birthday would be a six-digit number. And there are 1 million different six-digit numbers. So there's actually a pretty good chance that your birthday is going to fall somewhere in the first million digits of pi. The problem is some numbers get in there twice, so two or three times. But you type your birthday in, and for most people, when you do this, it will say, your birthday is the 537,819th digit of pi onwards. And mathematicians would dearly love to prove that every possible combination of digits occurs somewhere in pi. It's not important. It really doesn't matter. But it would pin down once and for all the feeling that the digits of pi are just completely crazy. They're all over the place. There isn't any real pattern to them as such. They're like a string of random numbers. But they're not random because they're pi, and there's only one pi. So it is kind of fascinating. There's a nice joke about pi. It's a typical mathematician's joke. You may have heard of it. But you know the standard formula for the area of a circle from school, pi r squared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pi r squared. No, pi r round. Chocolate r squared.
We're not going to ask our listeners to share their pie jokes. Well, no. So this gets to something that you've written about. What we were just talking about how these numbers actually hold a grasp on our consciousness somehow. You write that human numbers themselves are human concepts that model reality, but they are not themselves real. Could you just talk about that idea, that concept, for a moment?
Yeah, I mean, pi, I've just talked about a million decimal places of pi. Now, you can make the most perfect real circle that you can imagine making. Some highly technological future civilization makes a circle the size of the solar system, and it's absolutely smooth down to the nearest atom. And then they could measure the circumference of the thing. And I'm not sure how many decimal places it would go to, but it may be 15 or 20. It's nowhere near a million. There's no way you could get down to that kind of accuracy. So the real world doesn't actually have pi in it, in this idealized, perfect, exact form of the infinitely thin, perfectly round circle, calculated to absolute perfect accuracy. So when we think about, but nonetheless, pi is a very useful number. And if, even if I'm an engineer who's making things to do with circles, some sort of decent approximation to pi is actually a very useful number to have. It's no longer considered terribly advanced, but it's good practical stuff. We had somebody who was tiling our bathroom, and he said he was going to do a job, and he actually said to me, there's a formula for the area of a circle, isn't there? And I said, yeah, pi r squared. And he said, well, what's pi? I said, well, it's sort of 3 1/7. Oh, great, he said, because I've got to tile a circular piece of flooring for somebody, and I want to know how many tiles it will take. And if I can work out the area, that will give me a kind of minimum estimate, and add 10% for luck, and probably that'll be right.
Sure.
So here is the man who is tiling our bathroom, who's suddenly found a use for pi.
So?
Yeah. So it's practical, but also it is a human construct. There isn't... You don't need it to a million decimal places. Well, you certainly don't need it to more than that.
And it's practical, and as we found, it's beautiful as well. And I appreciate you sharing some pie stories with us today, Ian Stuart. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Ian Stuart, an emeritus professor of mathematics at the University of Warwick. He's author of Professor Stuart's Incredible Numbers. You can read some of the book and our pop quiz, Pi versus Pi, on our website, sciencefriday.com/pi.